Rump steak.
Good to see you, guys.
Purged aubergine.
Bye, Louis.
Yes.
Bye again, Louis.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
Kim.
Yeah.
112. Is it 112 records? How do I?
Yeah, it's 1 to 12.
1
so
to 12.
It's a scale.
There you go.
1 okay. to 12 is like an old school scale. That's
relates to what? Let's get right into it.
Yeah, all right. Our label was started at David, my business partner's mother's wake.
Oh, wow.
And her name was Carol, and I wanted to call the label Carol Records. But that's already taken.
That would have been quite nice, actually.
It would have been good, eh?
Yeah.
But she was a crazy miniaturist that made miniature buildings, and they were all based on this scale that was developed back in the Victorian era of 1 to 12.
Out of it.
Mm. And so, I mean, she was so crazy about it, she had, like, personalised number plates that
it
referred
really
to her miniaturisation fetish. And so we called it 1 to 12, and they had this amazing house that looked out over the harbour to Rangitoto, and so it was really fitting that that was kind of our genesis of our logo. So our logo is Rangitoto exploding with 1 to 12 records, top and bottom.
Did she have a room in the house dedicated to these miniature, was it like a miniature city in one of the rooms?
She had a workshop. So that was like full of specific equipment for making these really detailed dolls houses. And I'm not sure what she actually did with the results, whether they were made to order or whether there was like some society where they all put together this massive mini city.
It's so awesome when people just get like, I don't want to say a hobby, but you know, like an interest like that, which they just pursue to the fullest.
Yeah.
They just
it's a labor of love. Yeah. And that's really like relevant for the label, because the label is very much a labor of love too.
Christmas party on Friday.
Yeah.
Assemble your crew.
We've basically just thrown open the doors and said we want all our favorite bands to play who's available. And so many of them were that we've ended up with 12 bands playing 20-minute sets back to back on two stages in the Whammy main room. So
rad.
It's going to be chaotic, but it's going to be really fun chaos.
I'm such a fan of a quick set.
Yeah,
it
20
just,
minutes
it works so well.
It gives you time to just sort of like, don't bore us, get to the chorus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Play the gold.
Yeah. Just get out there and cane it and get out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Now, we've got you to pick a couple of records.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
We've got some 7-inches.
There's some La Cita sitting on there. There's some Admiral on there. Old mate Rapley up in it.
Yeah, and I've got some other of the key records from the label. And basically, you know, the time that we've been running, which is must be about 7 years now, there's just been some records that were, you know, sort of like either captured the zeitgeist at the time.
Right.
Or we're part of our story and, you know, sort of like have led on to other things. So, yeah, let's start off with what was definitely a zeitgeist record, which was Las Tetas, You're Not Invited.
Just like that.
just like that.
You're saying one side 7-inch?
Yeah, yeah. It was
too gnarly to have anything on the other side.
It was lightning in a bottle, and you know, sort of like we just wanted it to be a massive fuck you statement when we put it out, and the band were like, "What do you mean you don't want to put anything on the other side?" We're like, "Nah, we're just gonna do one side."
So,
and we had to. I mean, it cost as much as to make a record with two sides.
Yeah, but
it was just one of those "Nah, fuck it, this is what we're gonna do" moments.
It makes it easier for the selector.
Yeah,
where do you get these records pressed up?
So these are pressed, well, we started off in the States, and at the time we were pressing at United Record Presses in Memphis, but the timelines and the runs that they were doing just started to stretch out and out as the majors in the States started to look to press vinyl, and we went from like a 6-week turnaround to massive like 3-month lead times on things. And all of a sudden it just became really clear that we weren't a priority anymore.
Yeah.
And so then we moved out to Northern California, and we were pressing at a little place in El Segundo, and then that got bought by United, so we found we had the same problem.
Cancer's growing.
Yeah. And by that stage, Zenith in Melbourne had set themselves up. And they actually took over a lot of the gear that had been run by Corduroy Records, which was, I mean, we're pretty disorganized, but Corduroy was just gonzo land. It's the sort of thing where you would send your record over there and they'd go, "Thanks, okay, we'll get this pressed," but you wouldn't hear anything for like 4 months, and you'd be like chasing them, and this is early days of email and stuff, just it was like things disappeared into the ether. But then all of a sudden your records would arrive, but then you'd put them on and they'd done such a bad job of doing the plating that they wouldn't play.
I guess,
and they'd sent you the whole stuff. It was just ridiculous.
It's kind of the Wild West for a while. I guess now that vinyl's sort of well and truly back in a lot of people's eyes, there's more choice and more consistency across the range.
Yeah. Well, the people that bought all that gear, because the gear was all had all been grabbed by people that really cared. Mm. Like Corduroy really cared. It's just that they were like really fucked up.
We've done enough now.
It had come from all of the EMI and CBS plants in Melbourne and Sydney.
That's like serious stuff.
They'd picked really good stuff.
Yeah.
So Zenith managed to get all that stuff when Corduroy fell over. And now they're running a really pro outfit, which is really responsive and really easy to deal with, and the product's really great.
Mm. Close though, it's not just in Australia.
The issue is though is all of these things, records are heavy and freight is a bitch.
Yeah. Mm. Do you try piggybacking someone's container from time to time?
Yeah, do you sea freight? Sea freight?
Not from Australia, no. And we tried in the US, and that was another thing about the majors. Like, United just didn't want to know. It was like, no, we're couriering them to you, and it's going to cost you $1,200 New Zealand dollars to courier 300 records. It was I could have flown over there and got those records and flown them back cheaper.
Yeah, it's grim.
What's next?
Stop that one from spinning. Yeah. Just start us. Where are the inside of your record?
Let's play the Admiral record, which was a double A side that the Admiral did with Cool Runnings, and both of those bands have been really important bands for 1 to 12 in that we've done projects with the people in those bands that have spanned different bands and different albums. And that's a kind of part of our idea behind the label, is we want to have a career path for people that are playing music. We've totally focused on the Auckland scene. It's not because we don't like bands from other areas, but it's because I've spent, you know, 30 years playing in bands in Auckland, and I've seen great bands come and go. Mm. And I really wanted to have a label that kept people playing music, because I'm fucking old, but I don't see too many people apart from Andrew Tolley who are my age and still, you know, kicking out the jams.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sort of like, what are the pathways that are going to make people feel like there is something
stoked
to do and somewhere to go in this? And label is about fostering people to play live music, to have fucking great bands, to not get sort of think that they're going to be stars, drop out and give it away. It's, you know, sort of like it's this is what we do because we love it. Let's keep doing it.
Right.
Nice. Now, just before you hit go, 33 or 45 on this 7-inch?
33, I think it was.
I can't remember.
It was on 33. Benny did
it's
check
on,
it.
It's
so.
On 33.
No, I didn't check it.
Oh, we didn't?
I didn't check it.
Oh, this is shit. Ooh, well, we'll know pretty quickly. Is Rappley out there? Rappley, give us a call if you're playing at the wrong speed.
I'll know if it's at the wrong speed.
Admiral.
Rapley.
And Sam, don't forget Sam.
What were you saying it was about? Rent in New York?
No, not at all. It's about debt collectors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Rapley hating on the debt collectors.
Little track for Baycorp.
And I was just saying that, you know, sort of like, another thing is that some of the records that I'm playing, the people that are on those records have gone on to be on in other bands and on other records, and the Admiral, you know, the nucleus of the Blood Bags, and, you know, sort of like play in other bands that are on 1 to 12, like Magic Factory, and, you know, sort of like it's part of our idea of people being able to actually build a career, or feel like they're supported in doing that and having an outlet to release their music on vinyl. And, you know, feel like someone's got their back and someone's supporting them. It's kind of like, you know, sort of like, we want to be kind of like a, you know, sort of like a club for never-do-well rock and rollers, really.
Sounds fantastic.
Now, the next song you've got lined up is by The Cavemen.
Yeah.
The infamous Cavemen.
The Cavemen, I actually first met Paul when my daughter, who's now 24... Oh, no, she's not. She's only 22. Sorry. met him when she was doing a walk around of Western Springs College to see if she was going to go there when she was like 12 years old. And she went into his maths class and saw his cramps pencil case, and they started a conversation. And so sort of like when she got to school there, they both, you know, sort of like had things in common, and she'd talk about Paul and his band, the Cavemen. And then the next thing you know, they're playing some of their first gigs down at Whammy when they're still at school, and their mum and dads have to come and chaperone them while they're playing.
Make sure they, you know, are orderly. And behave themselves.
They just weren't allowed to be there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been a real pleasure, and like, you know, sort of like an amazing journey to see them make more records, to move to the UK, to be constantly touring and playing with some of the bands that we look to or have looked to fondly from here, you know, sort of like King Khan, the Monsters, and I'm pretty sure that they've played with the Oblivions and tons of just amazing bands, both in the UK, through Europe, and in the States. And they've just come off like a massive tour where they've been through Europe, down through Southeast Asia, into Japan, through Australia, and come home here for Christmas. They've arrived, played a gig the first day that they arrived back, then down to Wellington, then to Whanganui, and over to Tauranga. Few days now hanging out with their folks, playing tomorrow here on Drive, and then playing at the Christmas party.
Oh, they're playing on Friday.
You're playing on Friday.
Oh, Friday. Friday. Yeah. Then at the Christmas party, and then they're flying out again straight after Christmas back to the States to do dates. So I mean, they're pretty road traveled now.
The 1 to 12 Christmas party is on Friday night.
That's right. And there's still some very cheap.
Just stay at Whammy Bar in Wainsala this weekend. Basically, it's one of those ones.
Yeah, there's some very cheap tickets still available on Under the Radar. We put 100 tickets up for $15 for 12 bands, and I think there's still about 20 left. It's going to be 25 on the door, so save yourself $10 and come and stonk it out.
Right on. What have we got selected from the Cavemen playing off of 45, as we have been?
Yeah, this is Juvenile Delinquent, which at the time totally summed up this band.
Someone else. I never got a chance to be myself. Looking up, spent all my time being drunk and stoned. I don't even care if I'm all alone.
Strong message in that song there from the Cavemen.
It's a testament. Try this at home, kids.
We are here with Kim from 1 to 12 Records, the big boss man from 1 to 12. Whereabouts are you located? Is it kind of like out of your house, Buzz?
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's got a lot of big boxes sitting around your house at all times.
I got to stress that it's a partnership.
Yeah,
so, okay. You know, I'm kind of like you know, the sort of like one that goes to shows a lot and plays and has a relationship with the bands on a musical side. But from the pure sort of like heart and soul side, David Perry, or Dr. David Perry, is you know, sort of like he's the soul of the label. He's there just because he loves the enthusiasm, he loves the music, he loves making connections with these musicians, and he looks after all the stock.
He's got
room to hold stock.
I picked some stuff up from Real Groovy and went up to the top floor, up to the office.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, I was just like boxes and boxes and boxes, and I was like, man, a lot goes into looking after, you know, records going onto a shelf.
So much stock,
man. I just have no idea how people manage it. What's next? What do we got?
Okay, the next track is from Raw Nerves, who are also another band that's one of our, you know, sort of bands that has led into other bands such as Magic Factory and Cool Runnings. And the song that I've chosen is Nazi, which is kind of one of the coolest pop songs with a message that I can think of in ages. And it features Kiwi from the Drab 2 Riffs and Heart Attack Alley, and Lucy from Drab 2 Riffs doing backing vocals on it. And it's just a killer pop song, so let's give that a
second run. To last song on side A.
Took this on a 12
fingers inch. Crossed. All right,
that's right.
Let's go.
What do you mean, fingers crossed?
Hopefully, I've queued up the right one.
Got raw nerved,
yeah,
courtesy of 1 to 12 Records. That came off a big record. You do seem to do a lot of sort of 45s, obviously, just for ease and just to get something out of the band, or what's
no
the...
I've just bought a lot of 45s up, but okay. We're actually way more LP focused than we are 45 focused. Oh, okay. Just because the economics are so much better.
Yeah.
It's really hard to keep the label you know, solvent when you're doing 45s. Mm. No one wants to pay $20 for a 45, but for us to recoup, that's kind of what you're looking at.
Right. Fair. Do you guys muck around with 10 inches very often?
Yeah, but the issue's the same.
Yeah.
We did a Drab 2 Riffs 10 inch, but, you know, it's what can you charge for it?
Yeah.
and you know, sort of like how many songs are on there, and is that
the bottom line, eh?
Does that work out? And you know, sort of like, I mean, we've the Echo O's Wild Weeds EP is fucking amazing, but it hasn't sold as well as Hot Pockets, and you know, it's because it's less songs on it, but it's a similar price. It's difficult.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I gotta say, actually, yeah, I'm bang for buck shopper, so I'm probably, it's probably my fault. I did a job.
Now, the artwork with these releases, is that 100% artist discretion, or do you guys help out?
Yeah, it's really important to us that the bands have as much control as possible.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
We don't tell the bands how to record or what to record. They just deliver the album to us, and you know, sort of like, if we like it, that's it. We're not going to go, oh, but there's no single here, can you go and write us a single?
Yeah.
We're just going to go, if that's what you want to do, do it. And the same with the artwork. So we ask them to deliver us finished artwork and mastered tracks that are suitable for vinyl. Then we'll take over from there. So we'll send them off, get them plated, get them pressed, covers printed, back to New Zealand. And then what we do also, which is insane from a financial point of view, but also incredibly generous, if I say so myself, is we give roughly half the stock back to the bands to sell.
Oh, sick.
So it's like a 50% royalty, which is like, no one gets a 50% royalty in the real world.
Man.
So, you know, I mean, that's because we're long gaming it. Neither of us are in it to pull money out of the label. It's just to keep it going.
Just going back to the mastering,
yeah.
Is there a step between, you know, mastering, you know, like
John
having the digital,
off air,
the digital master, and then mastering for vinyl?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, there is.
Like between plating,
I really
and
don't
stuff?
Know.
Yeah.
You know,
technically, yes, there is, John. I can answer that one, but it doesn't. You can release a vinyl master digitally, totally fine. But the other way around gets a little bit sticky.
Yeah, we've got a guy in the States that will master a whole album for about $200, and so we use him, and that's freaking unbelievable value, and he's really good.
Nice and consistent.
Yeah, he does all the mastering for Burger Records, and that's how we got onto it. You know, it's just kind of like bands that we like have used
Burger Records have done a lot of stuff with New Zealand, haven't they?
They have been supportive of our bands when they've toured. I mean, that's the one thing about the 1 to 12 bands is they go to the States a lot. We've done pretty much every Ghana Fest for the last 6 years, and had at the height, I think we had 4 bands at Ghana Fest 1 year.
Sick.
Which is a lot of Kiwi bands for a Memphis-based, sort of like weekend of music.
Do you guys repress, or do you just do one press, apart from obviously that caveman situation you explained?
Well, we do runs of 300,
right.
And there's a couple of records that we're like
what's been a top sort of seller, I guess, in the way of top seller, that's out of rank, eh?
That Raw Nerves record we played, that sold really well, and we'd be looking at doing a repress of that.
Cool.
Echo O's Hot Pockets, definitely looking at a repress, and also Ounce. The Ounce record's really close to a repress as well.
Great.
So, you know, though, that's just fantastic.
Is it just the one Ounce record?
Yeah.
With the little red hand on the cover?
Came out this year, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
That's another great release this year. We've just been doing a few reminiscences.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, I think because the kaupapa of our label is really clear, you know, that we're here for Auckland bands that play live, Auckland bands that, you know, sort of like are kind of, I mean, you know, sort of, it's almost like there's this symbiotic relationship between us and, you know, sort of like the Whammy Wine Cellar scene. And so it really gives us carte blanche to work with the bands that we see coming through. I mean, we're very spoiled, and, you know, I'm really grateful of that. Just makes me feel humble, actually, that we get to put all these records out. So, Yeah.
Good shit, awesome, man. You're awesome. Doing great work.
Thanks.
Should we crack into...
Yeah, let's. We've been looking at this Echo Eyes for a minute. Easily one of the best live bands around Auckland for a long time.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Very radical Echo Eyes right there. Came off the record Hot Pockets. Is that this record? Yeah, that's right. And that was that the title track?
Nah.
No. What was that? Kicking in.
Second one on side A.
Yeah.
You don't mind?
Yeah.
I can read. I got it here. Sorry, guys. That was tense.
It was great DJ work of us there, staying on top of everything.
We're just having chinwags up here with Kim from 1 to 12 Records. We're actually just discussing where to go to get a 1 to 12 record if we would like, and you were saying Flying Out's the spot.
Yeah, Flying Out have handled our distribution for the last year and a half, and it's been amazing. They've hooked us into so many areas of the country that we wouldn't have got into without their distribution channels, and they're talking about trying to secure American distribution, which, as I was saying off air, was crucial for us to be able to actually make these bands have a bigger profile overseas, to unlock touring opportunities. The 1 to 12 bands have got a really good record of being able to get over to the States and tour. We've had bands at Ghana Festival in Memphis every year for the last 6 years. And so, you know, there's a quiet acknowledgement or recognition growing there, that if we could get distribution, I think the economics for us and the bands would really benefit. And, you know, for the long term, for everybody, it would just make it so much sweeter.
That's exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
Mint. It's good for the Auckland sound.
I hope so. I mean, what would be my dream is if, each province had its own version pop up to champion their scenes, mm-hmm. and then we could start trading and doing, like, you know, sort of like tours that pick up in each province, yeah. and there's like, you know, supporting. Sort of like, yeah, yeah, supporting each other, so that there's kind of like, you know, a really solid touring circuit where there's bands and labels supporting each other,
yeah,
and you know, people can hit the road and have some fun.
Are there any provinces in particular where 1 to 12 shows go pretty hard?
Palmy, like, North, surely.
Yeah. New Plymouth?
Surely.
Well, I mean, the boss Christ is Palmy bound. Well, he's based
right,
in Palmy. So, you know, I mean,
they don't fuck around in Palmy, mate.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome.
It's windy.
And, you know, sort of like around the Wairarapa, there's really solid links with what we do. So, you know, you've got Stink Magnetic and you've got the likes of Bad Evil and...
Bad Evil?
Yeah. Oh,
that's shit. The worst type.
And these are all Stink Magnetic bands we're talking about here.
Right, right.
And then down in Christchurch, Luke Wood, who just had that amazing vinyl show up at Object Space. I don't know if you guys
up.
Saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we did a broadcast from
that
there.
That was fucking cool.
Yeah, with some Peter Kings as well.
Yeah, totes. So he's doing something similar to what we're doing down in Christchurch.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's a hard row to...
Lathe cutting as well.
To hoe down in Christchurch. Like, you know, there's just... I mean... Luke's one of the best surf guitarists I've ever seen in my life, and he was telling me that he's having trouble finding people to play with that want to play surf music. Whereas in Auckland, you know, you sort of like
there's heaps of sweet bands.
You've got Ounce, you've got the Echoes, you've got King Kaiju,
yeah.
You've got you know, sort of like the Cthulhu's. it's feast or famine.
Yeah, hard. Right on. Let's reiterate Friday night. The 1 to 12.
Yeah, so 1 to 12, first band is Hallelujah Picassos, which is an incredible band to have opening.
Wow, yeah.
They're on at 9 o'clock. And then the next band, Water, which is Oscar's new band, very pavement-y influenced, but
yeah,
their own thing.
We know Water really well up here. Yeah.
Excellent. They're on second, and we're just going to rattle A stage, B stage all night, 12 bands through. It's going to be epic.
Good
chaos.
Stuff. Matt, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for coming up.
It's my pleasure, and thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. Say thanks to your partners,
what we do.
Your offsider as well. Dr.
David Perry.
Should we play some Ounce? Should we play a little bit of Ounce?
Is that
too greedy?
No, that's a fucking great idea. Crocodile?
Yeah.
Sweet. We'll go out on that. Still get tickets from Under the Radar.
$15. It's going to be $25 on the door, so snatch those up. It's going to sell out.
Epic.
Cheers, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.